Hi, everyone, and this is Brits in the End Zone.
Hi, everyone, at the beginning of everything.
Help
every sentence.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Okay, last one. I'll do it again. Charles, I'll do it again without saying hi. You're listening to Brits in the End Zone.
Hello, everyone. Good evening. I am joined, as ever, by JP, Greeny, and Charles.
Hello.
The Bites team.
Hi, guys.
Hey, guys.
We are Brits in the End Zone, or Bites. We're an NFL UK podcast. We've said that enough times now. I don't need to keep going. We're not joined by Ed Sheeran today, which for me is a shame because he's going around ruining everything good in life. So I thought he might as well ruin our thing.
I was expecting a crappy 5-second cameo from him, but
nothing wrong with it.
The fact that he actually said this is a new song for me was really quite insulting. But anyway, if you haven't watched Game of Thrones, don't, because he's ruined it. It's over.
He hasn't. Watch it. It's the best show on telly.
Don't bother. Anyway, let's talk NFL. What's coming up on today's show? We are going to be talking about things like Love Island. No, we're not really. I had a list of jokey things today. We're going to talk about NFL. We're talking about NFL UK Live, which these three guys went to. I didn't get a ticket, which is rude. But I wasn't there. We've got some of your questions, as ever. We've got Greeny's top three. We've got some positions to talk about. We've got NFL fantasy. Loads to get through. Let's get cracking. Have you all felt suitably welcomed and helloed? Do you want to say a quick hello? Has that been done?
No, it's been done.
It's been done.
I think we're good.
I'll keep saying hello however they want me to.
Just keep saying hello. Okay. First question this week. We always start with the best question of the week. So let's kick off with James Heseltine, number 7. Again, must be related to Andy Heseltine, the Barnett manager of years ago.
I got the Barnett reference.
Yeah. Which rookies from last year who didn't break through are likely to break through this year? So which rookies from last year who didn't break through will break through? So let's each say one. JP, I'm going to start with you.
I'm going to go with the Browns homer. Corey Coleman for me. Anyway, he suffered pretty badly with injuries last year. He actually started the season really well. And, you know, if he can stay healthy, sort of has the right mentality, he can have a really great year. I mean, he was the 15th overall pick in last year's draft and the first wide receiver off the board. So, I mean, we know the talent's there. I mean, the Browns have improved. They're still not great, so they're going to be in negative game scripts. The quarterback's going to have to throw the ball a lot. So Coleman stays fit. I think he's going to have a big year.
What went wrong last year? Was it just the Browns are shit?
Injuries.
He actually started off, I think his first game, he got about 35 fantasy points to the point where even up to week 7.
That's a lot of points.
It was ludicrous. Even to the point where up to week 6, his average points per game was still in like the top 5 of the wide receivers.
I think it finished equal with Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
But he actually re-injured himself in the OTAs. So is that an issue?
What's an OTA?
Off-season training
activities.
What does that involve? Like going to a bull pond or something?
That's when the
it's when they play around without pads
Dodgers,
on, without hurting each
bowling.
Other.
Bowling.
It's just like, you know,
good
getting
fun.
A bit fitter again.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll have to wait till training camp to see how bad the injuries are. But I think Coleman could have
shout.
A great year.
Coleman's
next year.
A shout. Okay. Greeny, what are you saying?
I'm going to go for sleeping hard, Paulie Perkins from the Giants.
I've never heard of him.
Were you here on episode 1?
You might have been.
I must have been literally physically here, but
so he was the second running back for the Giants last year. After Rashard Jennings, he should now be the number one running back. He ran the ball about 115 times, which is about half of what a starter would do. And he got about 450 yards. So if he ran a normal running back portion of runs, he should get over 1,000 yards. He got no touchdowns last year, but heck, neither did Melvin Gordon his first year. Then got 14 touchdowns the next year. So there's a lot of
good
upside
point.
There. Could be an RB2 with upside. Maybe 6th round is his value.
Yeah.
And what went wrong last year? Just not enough touches.
He wasn't really playing.
But why is he going to get them this year?
Because Jennings is now a free agent. So they're relying on him to be the number one running back.
Jesus.
Is he a third down, three down back?
I would expect them to use Shane Vereen as the third down back.
Oh, I like him. I like him.
Yeah.
He catches a bit, doesn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
He does catch, yeah.
Yeah, I like him. Anyway, sorry. Cool, we've got him. Charlesy, who's your pick?
Mine's actually on the defensive side of the ball.
I like the emphasis on the D there.
Defense. Yeah.
It's hard not to, isn't it? But anyway, like JP, I'm sticking with a homer. I'm as a Jags fan, Miles Jack had a lot of hype before the draft last year. People thought he might go in the top 5, even top 10 of the first round, and he fell to the Jags at the beginning of the second round. And but he didn't actually play that much last year as a linebacker. But now he's been given the reins to play middle linebacker, which we'll talk about later in the episode. And I think, you know, with his skill set, he could be one to watch out for, and he could be a big addition.
What does that mean to someone like me? He's going to be what? He's going to be intercepting the ball? He's going to be tackling players? I know we're going to get into it later, but what's he best at? What's he going to be doing? What's he there to do?
I mean, a mix of everything. Okay. He'll be getting
the defensive force.
Exactly.
He's the quarterback of the defense.
Yeah, he'll be the quarterback of the defense.
Lovely.
And it'll be interesting to see how his athletic ability really helps him in that respect.
Okay, cool. For me, I'm going to pick Wentz. So we're all going, apart from Greeny, with players from our own team. But this is the year for the Eagles. So I keep hearing, everyone keeps telling me they're going to win the Super Bowl. So
talking to yourself in the mirror.
Yeah, exactly. It would make sense for the quarterback. I think, no.
Wentz had a decent year last year.
He was good, but he's going to improve.
Breakout, you're talking top five.
We're talking future, yeah. I mean...
Did his love of guns not put you off slightly? Or?
Oh, yeah, I don't like that. That's not cool. But, out of him or Goff, who I know were people comparing in the first year, I think... Wentz is the man. Goff is.
I think Goff's going to be sneaky good next year.
He could be.
Although the end of All or Nothing, I did quite get excited by that guy. That new coach seemed nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah,
he seemed nice.
He did. Yeah. He looked good. He looked good. Tell you. Anyway, so I'll go Wentz. But
I like it.
So we were talking a bit about rookies just now. So I wanted to ask you, JP. I hear that at this event that I wasn't at, the NFL UK Live, you asked a question, which is like that guy. I'm always that guy in class who never asked questions because I was always too idiotic, and it would be like, well, we've covered that a minute ago. So
One of the offensive linemen for the Browns was there. Was it Joel Bitonio?
Bitonio.
Bitonio. There we go. Yep. You know my love of the Browns.
When we got there, JP was like, what's his name?
So I actually asked him about Myles Garrett, you know, as we were just talking about rookies. He was obviously the number one overall pick. And, you know, he said that, I mean, in OTAs, he just looked like a freak, just an athletic specimen.
Wow.
And they're all very excited to get going.
I mean, you'd hope he'd say that rather than going, oh, what an awful waste of the first overall pick.
Not
going
to lie, we fucked that one big time.
Exactly.
What else happened at the NFL UK Live?
It was really cool. Me and Greeny actually, Charles rushed off upstairs or downstairs, I can't remember where it was. Me and Greeny actually bumped into Neil Reynolds and had a nice little chat with him.
Settled any differences he had of us judging on his
Neil Reynolds. What a legend.
He was very, very much excited to get going with the event.
Charles, where were you at this point? In the toilet?
I was off
buying merch.
Looking at all the merchandise.
He saw a sale sign and was off. He was running.
Got myself a Jags hat. JP got. I convinced JP to get himself a Browns hat.
Are we talking flat caps?
No.
I didn't go for the flat caps. Just like baseball caps.
Just a normal baseball cap.
With that fluorescent orange. You look like
it's
a bit of a
very
builder's
orange,
hat.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Big fan.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it looked good. I mean, there were some great characters there, like Brandon Williams, who I didn't really know that much about before. But
nose tackle for the Ravens.
He was brilliant. I'm sure you guys have all seen on Twitter, but doing his Carlton dance from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air was, I think, the highlight of the night.
And he was quite jokey and honest, but compared to Kenny Stills, he was boring.
He was a bit dry.
Too professional.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I like this. We're bitching now. The NFL players.
There was a bit where Neil goes, what kind of things do they do in the classrooms to make you a bit more engaged?
And he's like inspire you.
Inspire you. And they're like, we've come up with this really interesting, we do breaks every 40 minutes. And we're like, what are you talking about?
We try not to look at the screens for longer than 40 minutes without giving our eyes a bit of time.
Yeah. It really refreshes us, that 15-minute drinks break.
Also, another good character was someone who I asked a question to, which was Stephon Diggs.
Question trail.
I started.
Greeny was the only one that bought it.
Yeah. And also, we all got a nice little picture with Stephon Diggs at the end. He was very
Is this the guy who you just said was boring?
No, that was Kenny Stills. This is Stephon Diggs. You had him last year in your fantasy team.
Yeah, no, he's good.
Diggs was a really cool guy.
Yeah.
Like, he took the time to have pictures with everyone. Like, actually genuinely seemed like happy to be there and really enjoyed it.
He's flying up my charisma board right now, round two.
Who's at the top of your charisma board, would you say?
Brady. Cool. Brady's up there.
No, but in life, generally.
Oh, in life, mates, with Donald Trump.
Like, what are you thinking?
This is a hard one to...
I'll come back to you at the end of the episode.
Also, one of the funniest bits was who Charles actually mentioned on the last podcast about the Dolphins fan who got married wearing his helmet.
My hero, yeah.
He was there.
Yeah. He was at the event.
Yeah. I did say, if no you're listening, way. Give us a shout. And we met him, and Tom's listened to the podcast, and he loves it. So shout out again.
Absolutely.
You lucky
amazing.
Boy.
Lee. Yeah. What a legend.
Two episodes in a row.
Fantastic.
Don't get used to it.
Well, from last week's headline news over to a bit of news this week. We don't have loads to talk about this week, but the news this week has been a little bit sour. If anything, this song might be a little bit relevant. That's the sound of the police. That's the sound of the beast. Right, please don't sue me if you're KRS-One listening. Anyway.
So pleased with yourself.
Yeah, I love that track. Anyway, Charles, why am I playing that? Something to do with Ezekiel Elliott going around hitting people.
Well,
is that true?
I mean, well, allegedly, nothing hard to say at this point, but he's already been kind of in limbo about whether or not he's going to get a suspension from domestic violence
from playing from, NFL.
In the NFL, but earlier in the, I think at college there was an alleged situation of domestic violence, and he's waiting to see whether he's going to get any form of ban. But basically, it's a bit stupid because he's in a situation where just keep your head down, get out of the spotlight, just be quiet. And suddenly he's involved in an altercation with someone getting punched very near him.
He needs a fatherly figure like yourself just to put that hand on his shoulder and say, Zeke, my man, chill the fuck out.
It's funny you say that, actually, because if Tony Romo, say, if he was still there as the quarterback, do you think he could kind of put, you know, like arm around the shoulder and actually tell Zeke to like settle down.
Well,
whereas Dak is a rookie.
Dak Prescott's come out and had a big go at Zeke, saying, you know, he's really disappointed in him and he needs to, you know, sort himself out.
He's the darling of the NFL, and like Odell Beckham came in, he's a bit rogue. Eli Manning's like the older quarterback there, but Odell Beckham's doing what he wants. He's having a laugh and he's getting like these big endorsement deals. Ezekiel Elliott's thinking,
here he goes. I'm on the commercial trail already.
I want that money. So he's going to parades. I think he pulled down a girl's top.
He did indeed.
Yeah, so yeah. It's a bit. He's having a bit of a laugh, but you can't do that as a child of the NFL.
No, we don't find that funny. And then there was another guy as well getting in trouble, Foreman. Is
Deontay
right?
Foreman, right. Yeah, the backup running back for the Texans who just got drafted this year. He looked great in college and was, you know, JP actually mentioned a few episodes ago that he thought he might still get involved in stopping Lamar Miller from being such a fantasy
kind
force.
Capping Miller's ceiling a little
bit. Yeah, but he's been caught with driving with marijuana and guns.
What a fantastic combination.
Yeah. So that was stupid. But I think even, you know, he probably could easily face a suspension. But I don't think in the first few weeks of the season he was ever going to make an immediate impact anyway. So long term, I don't really think it's going to have a great impact on him. It just
plants those seeds of doubt within the organisation. I just don't understand it. Like, you just signed
your very well behaved man, JP. So you're a rational
I guess you also got to think if you were, you know, 20 years old and you suddenly get given millions of pounds
it's
or
true.
Dollars. And
what do? You go out and buy
you've got a lot.
Maybe
of
they
golf
should
clubs.
Get it in instalments, like a trust fund.
We could do like an Eddie Lacy thing. So rather than being paid if you don't put on weight, we'll pay you if you stop hitting people.
Yeah, if you don't get arrested, you get some pocket money.
Yeah.
Well, Dez Bryant, when he signed, there was a lot of fears around him, so he used to have bodyguards, and he had a strip club clause on his contract. So
brilliant,
it's working.
I've got one of them in my office. So,
but Ezekiel Elliott, before we move on really quickly, because the big topic is and the fantasy impact is. You're going Johnson, Bell. Is Zeke going to drop because of this or not? What do we think?
I don't think he should. He's still a difference maker, and the running back position, he's so
unless
good.
It's more than two games. I think if suddenly he's hit with a 3 or 4 game suspension,
I think for me, four games is the minimum that it would. Even 3 games.
I agree with you, Charles. 4 games, then he maybe
three
goes
games,
to the end of the
he's
first.
Still the third pick.
Okay.
Four, maybe you start to think about it, but we'll see. But I mean, he's so good that, you know.
None of us are third picks, so it doesn't matter. We'll worry about it on day of draft. Anyway,
well, but one half of the fantasy leagues, we've already, mine and Greeny's league, we have done our draft order.
And you are third.
And we are third.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
Well, there
so
we go.
This is
proof
huge.
The pudding.
I thought
words.
You were calling us NFL third picks because we're certainly not that. But yes, in our
I
league,
don't even know what that means.
No one knows what that means. Don't worry at home. We didn't.
I'm excited for this league to start. Me and Charles, I think we're going to be a good bond here. Charles,
we're
going to win this, no doubt. Anyway, look, forget that news. The real news this week has been the Bytes blog, and I'll hold my hands up. It's actually pretty cool. I'm really enjoying reading the articles. I've read JP's twice now, and that's by mistake because I'd forgotten players and didn't realise. But there's some good articles going up there, and we're getting people writing. Greeny, what's going on with that?
Yeah, so we have about 6 or 7 articles on the blog right now, ranging from all different fantasy areas to talking NFL teams as such. JP's actually just put on a blog, which we've posted up today.
Yeah. Busts and Bargains.
That's the one I've read twice. I think I read it originally, yeah. And now I read it again today. It
was JP, why don't you take us through some of your picks and misses?
That's so putting on the spot, isn't it?
Lucky I'm prepared for this.
Let Adley do it. He's read it twice.
I don't know anyone.
I mean, one of my sort of more controversial busts, I actually picked sort of Jay Ajayi.
Everyone in the UK has just lost respect for you, JP.
I actually say in the article, you know, we should be backing the Brit, but I just, for the price you're paying for Ajayi with that high second round pick, I just think there's too many question marks.
I think there's one question mark, and that's the centre, Pouncey. His stats with and without him are chalk and cheese. It's really crazy.
I mean, I actually said in the article it's purely based on my feelings rather than facts and figures.
I'm quite glad. Isn't that how Trump got to power?
I just think with Ajayi, like, there's the injury history there, which I know all, like, loads of NFL players, loads of running back. You can't take it just on that, but it is there. There's his sort of mentality as well. Like, don't forget, last season, Ajayi, first game of the year, was left out of the team altogether. You know, Arian Foster won the starting job from Ajayi, and he was old and injured, and he had to retire sort of five games into the season. So, I mean, you know, Ajayi...
Yeah, I don't know necessarily if he won the job off Ajayi. I think they brought Foster in as the main guy, because up until that point, Ajayi had never been the out and out starter. Because I remember it was Lamar Miller the season before, so it was, you know, it was never a given that Ajayi, who was a second year coming out of college,
Ajayi could easily turn out to be, you know, a top 5, top 10 running back. Just think, you know, there's his production as well. I mean, I have to give a little shout out to Lee Abrahams. He gave us a good stat on our NFL group yesterday. You know, 23% of Ajayi's fantasy points last year came on just 7 plays. And I mean,
whilst that is, you can see it. You can look at that both ways. But he's got that big play potential where he can break off big plays that will get. You know,
is he capable of replicating that? We don't know that. He's done it.
Well, he did it 7 times in half a season. So over the course of a season, you know, he could, you know, 50.
Charles, why don't you just take him if you love him so much?
if he's there.
The one final point though is a lot of his touchdowns got vultured last year from
Damian Williams.
Like, often Ajayi's taken off the field at that sort of goal line work, and from your, you know, first or second picks, you want him to be there. Yeah. You want him to be the go-to man.
Did he go to college in America then?
Yes.
What? He just one day woke up and was like, I'm a big guy. I should go over there. Or was he...
No, I think he moved over there as a teenager.
Okay,
When we get him on the show.
He was at Florida, I think.
You've made that up
completely.
Yeah. Is that because he plays for Miami?
None of us can say you're wrong, but...
Yeah. All right now.
And then I'll just quickly go over one of my bargains. I think Willie Snead at the moment is being massively sort of undervalued.
Keep that quiet. I want him.
Now there's hundreds of thousands of people that will know.
Yeah.
Hundreds of thousands. Drew Brees, he just throws the ball a lot. And with Brandon Cooks gone, there's a lot of targets to be had. Michael Thomas, he's being, you know, covered by the number one cornerbacks. I don't think he's going to have a huge effect, but Ted Ginn Jr. is there.
I agree.
He's going to spread the field. He's going to stretch it. And that could leave Snead pretty available in the middle of the field. And, I mean, if you're getting Snead in rounds, you know, 7 or 8, I think he's a huge bargain.
I just want to jump in with someone that I dispute. You had Amari Cooper as a bust.
JP hates Amari Cooper. Well,
yeah. I think I agree with him. He only had Amari Cooper as a bust because Michael Crabtree several rounds later presents a lot of value. So instead of Cooper being a bust, you've just got Crabtree being undervalued.
I'd rather take Crabtree in the 5th than Cooper in the 2nd.
Which is fine, but I also think you Cooper will present a much better value this year. He had 1,000 yards in two years running, 6 and 5 touchdowns respectively, but 4 touchdowns last year were ruled out because of defensive interference. Yeah. So if he finished off with 1,200 yards and 9 touchdowns last year, would you be thinking, wow, this is a guy I'm putting a lot of stake in? And so end of the second, beginning of the third, that's probably his value. He's not overvalued. That's his value.
I just think bringing in Marshawn Lynch, that great offensive line, I think that they're going to try and be a run-first team.
Is Lynch going to be good this year? What round does he go?
No one knows.
He's going to be going probably.
He's going to be a gamble.
Late second
where
round.
Where if you take him in that end of second round, but there's potential.
If he's got gas in the tank, he could be a thriller. Amazing. By the way, Jay Ajayi was Boise State. Sorry about that. He's okay. Where's Blue?
Yeah, I'm a little Google there. I love Amari Cooper, by the way. I think he's going to have a big year.
And you know what? I think he loves you too.
Yeah.
This blog, before we go, what do we want to achieve from this? Is this a community for people to write articles? Are we going to become the Huffington Post of the NFL? Is it mainly in the off season while there's not much going on? What do we want people to do? We want people to write for us? The people, are we saying if you've got an article to write, then get in touch, that kind of thing?
We've created an almost open community. We want different perspectives on the blog. We want people to be able to, a forum to write about the things that intrigue them and help our audience, which are people who don't necessarily know much about the NFL or are fans for 10-20 years, to kind of have their say and learn something new. We're going to talk about defensive players later, but there was a lot I've learned just from defensive positions and different niche things in the NFL, which I think everyone would benefit from. So that's
anything,
our key
anything
aim.
Goes. It's kind of like the it's like a swingers club for journalists meets NFL fans.
Yeah, it's a new jacuzzi in the bowl. NFL.
Put your keys in the bowl and get your pens ready.
And you might get Michael Floyd, you might get Michael Crabtree. You literally don't know who you're going home with. But all we know is it'll be a well thought out article.
It's true.
Did you learn much from my piece, Greeny?
I thought it was brilliant. It was very funny.
Just checking you've read it.
Great.
Okay, fantastic. We can't talk about the blog all day as much as we'd like, but do check it out and do write for us. Get in touch with the guys.
BritsEndZone.com, by the way. For Britson. Anyone that hasn't checked it out.
How much are we paying for that? Bloody hell.
Only 100 grand.
Great
a year,
URL. So. It's time to mention our sponsors, Halftime. They are Zing Zing. I keep forgetting. I don't know why. They are Zing Zing. They are lovely, tasty Chinese, MSG free. So don't worry about that MSG. It's not going anywhere near their food. And you can, of course, get your discount, 20% off by using the code. I get this wrong every time, but it is ENDZZ20. ENDZZ20. They've opened up somewhere new, Elephant and Castle. We spoke about that.
Actually, went there last week.
The grand opening.
It was delicious.
It was Kate Moss, Brad Pitt, JP,
all of them.
All of them. Anyway, they are making so much money out of us. We might as well keep that rolling. So, order your Chinese. What are we going through now? We're going to go through another position we've spoken about. We've teased you by saying we were going to talk about defense. So JP, take it away. It's your time to shine.
So last episode we spoke about the offensive line. This week we're going to go with the defensive line. They're the guys who go up directly against the offensive line. So they're looking to sack the quarterback. They're looking to win the ball back for their team, stop the running back from going down the field, and basically just trying to make it as difficult as possible for the quarterback to throw to his wide receiver and to stop the running back from getting through them. It's kind of, the defensive line is sort of split into, I'd say, three main groups. Yeah. So you've got the defensive tackle, the defensive end, and then your linebackers.
Yeah.
The defensive tackle is sort of the center of that defensive line. So they're there to rush the passer, stop running plays from sort of going down the middle of the field. And I mean, if you're talking about defensive tackles, you're sort of best in the business. So you've got your Aaron Donald. Who's, you know, featured on All or Nothing for the Rams.
Ndamukong Suh.
Geno Atkins, Malik Jackson for the Jags.
Yeah. Gerald McCoy, for him on Hard Knocks with the Tampa Bay Bucks.
And a lot of when I mentioned Sue, he's in Ballers.
He's in Ballers with The Rock.
With The Rock.
I'm glad you said him because I had no idea how to pronounce his name. Yeah. So I left him off my sheet.
How do you say it?
Ndamukong
Suh. There we go.
Okay, so then you've got the defensive end. So
or
they...
something like that.
We're just winging it.
The defensive tackles are huge. They're like they're normally the biggest of the defenders.
But they're not as big. They're the second biggest. They're not as big as the nose tackles, which are a part of the defensive tackles. These guys are called space eaters. We're talking Vince Wilfork for the Patriots. Did he move to the Texans?
He was at the Texans for Hard Knocks last year.
So this guy is, don't know pounds, but he is he's twice or three times the size of me. And
most people are.
He's expected.
he's like JJ Watt look small.
And he's expected
What position is JJ Watt?
It's mainly defensive end.
When we say he's big, he's very wide. I mean, okay. It's basically like you're not getting around him because he's there to block the run and make sure the running back can't go past him because he's huge.
Right, okay. Whereas JJ Watt's job is to sack the quarterback.
So
the defensive end, like JJ Watt, they sort of play next to the tackles on the edge of the defensive line. So they're there to rush the passer as well and stop runs going around and outside of the defensive line. So they're usually faster than... the fastest defensive end usually lines up on the right-hand side of the defensive line, which if the quarterback's right-handed, which most of them are, that's their blind side, which we spoke about last week. So your fastest guy can get to the quarterback quickest without him seeing and sack him, basically.
Yeah.
Talking about the best guys, we mentioned JJ Watt. We've got JPP, Jean-Pierre Paul,
half a hand pool,
club man.
Joey Bosa
was defensive rookie of the year last year for the Chargers.
10 sacks in his first year.
Muhammad Wilkerson, he's very good for the Jets. He's the only good player left. They got rid of everyone else.
Who's their quarterback now?
Who, the Jets?
Yeah.
That is a good question.
Is it McCown? No, yeah, it's Josh McCown.
Is Petty someone?
Yeah, Bryce Petty.
Tom Petty.
Oh, they got Hackenberg as well.
Yeah, basically, so no one. Right. There's a common conception.
Why don't they take Kaepernick?
Well, there's a common conception that this year basically trying to tank the season so they could get the first pick in next year's draft.
To get
Sam Darnold, who's meant to be the next big quarterback,
who does not want to go there, so he's coming out and saying, I'll probably stay in college for another year.
Yeah. Oh yeah, is that an option? No, he can't.
Yeah, because he was a second year uni, so he can do another year uni.
Yeah, right. if he sees that he doesn't want to go to the Jets, he'll be like, "You're all right, I'll just stay at uni." This would be
like the equivalent of doing year in business, going off to like somewhere to do a bit of studying,
just to do another year.
Anyway, sorry.
So we've got defensive tackles, defensive ends, and then you've got your linebackers. So they play kind of just behind the defensive line and perform like various duties, so rushing the passer, covering receivers, stopping the run. They do a bit of everything depending on what the play is. Yeah.
There's two different types of linebackers.
So you've got a middle linebacker.
Called Mike, sometimes.
Yeah.
Called Mike. They're kind of the quarterback of the defense. So they call defensive plays and react to different situations on the field. And then you've got your outside linebackers. So they're often used to block the tight ends, but also to rush the passers and blitz the quarterback. So, yeah. I mean, your big name linebackers, you know, you've got Von Miller,
Justin Houston,
yeah,
Vic Beasley, who had the most sacks in the NFL last year, played from there.
So it really depends on the formation. There are two key formations, and I'm just going to go over them quite quickly. That is the 3-4 and 4-3. You're going to hear the teams talking about it. That's the kind of way they have their formation. But it doesn't really make that much difference. Difference between a PC and a Mac. A 3-4 is you have three big guys up front on the line who are expected to basically cover five offensive linemen and just block the run.
Seems a bit unfair.
I know. They say the nose tackle, which is the guy in the middle of that three, is one of the most draining positions in the league. So these guys have to generate some form of pass rush whilst holding off the offensive line and blocking the run. And behind them, you've got the smaller four linebackers who can just go in, blitz, or go back into coverage. Your Von Miller's on the end.
So they can either sort of join that line, join those three, or fall back and help.
They all go around the edge. Outside linebackers are playing a 3-4, and they go around and act as the main pass rushing weapon to go and get to the quarterback. Because also the difference between a linebacker and a defensive end is a defensive end starts with their hands like kneeling down with their hands in the floor, like, you know, like about to start a 100-meter race, whereas linebackers start, you know, standing up, and so they can run,
they can generate more speed,
agile. Yeah. And then you've got the 4-3, which is you have four linemen standing there who they're slightly quicker, smaller than the tackles. They have to try and find holes and get to the quarterback whilst defending off the running backs. They then have the three linebackers again behind who more quarterback what the defence is doing. The defensive end standing on the line outside of the defensive tackles are your Julius Peppers, your big guys. So you can play that formation if you really have these key dominant defensive ends.
If like me, I mean, this is great. If you're like me, you are getting confused a little bit because there is a lot to know here.
Yeah, there is.
You don't need to know all of this, really. You'll pick it up by watching it. For fantasy, you pick a defence. It's good to know kind of what they're doing. Like, I didn't know that about linebackers. That's good. But this is quite detailed stuff. These three guys, let me tell you. They know what they're talking about.
The 3-4 and the 4-3, I think, yeah, that's... Let's not, you know, that's a bit too much detail if you're for someone getting into it straight away. Just to know the defensive tackles, the defensive ends, and the linebackers, that's, you know,
those are the
main three positions. And obviously, the linebackers are split between the inside linebackers like Luke Kuechly and the outside linebackers
Von Miller. That's the most detail I'll probably go on for any of the positions, but I thought there was something interesting that I just learned or had learned in the last few years, so I wanted to share it with you.
Also, one last point people think automatically that they don't pay any mind to the defence. But out of the 32 teams in the NFL, a quarter of them have their highest paid player is a defender. So on the defensive line. So it shows how important it is.
Absolutely.
It's not just quarterbacks. It's, the defensive linemen are...
They should get their credit.
Paid the big bucks.
No. Well, we feel sorry for them normally. But some of them are getting paid to do it, so that's fine. Okay, I think let's move on from positions before we get bogged down. Let's go into some more detail about something else. Let's talk about something else that's confusing me, and that's the conference divisions. Charles, let's do this quickly. But there's, I don't even know, I'm going to guess, and you're going to tell me I'm wrong. There's kind of two leagues within the NFL.
Correct.
And weirdly, they're not like split down the middle, like left and right, east and west. Talk to me. You've got the AFC, the NFC. Very briefly, what does that mean? And... yeah, what does it mean?
Well, I think Greeny knows his stuff on this.
He knows
the history. He loves showing off his knowledge here.
He loves detail as well.
But so you're right, there's two leagues, the AFC and the NFC, and it came about because there used to be the NFL and the AFL. They merged in the 1970s. Half the teams joined the AFC, half the teams joined the NFC. So the AFC and the NFC are split into North, South, East and West, with the four divisional champions, the divisions being the North, South, East and West, go forward. The winners of the divisions go into the playoffs.
So you've got four in North, South, East and West for the NFC, and then four of those for the AFC, and then the best from each of those meet to play each
into
other.
The playoffs. Right. You also have the second best runner-up of the divisions for the conference also make it.
Okay.
They are the wild cards.
Fine, okay.
And the best two in the conference... go get a bye for the first round. So you'll often see the Patriots get a bye from the first round. The wildcard teams play the next two division champions. The winners of that plays the teams on the bye. You have the NFC, you have NFC and AFC conference championships. The winners of the AFC and NFC play in the Super Bowl.
So you can never have a Super Bowl with two teams from the NFC or two teams.
Is one
from the
stronger
AFC
than the other? Or not really. That's it's
the
kind
AFC
of,
have always had
whichever's
like
whichever's got the Patriots. Yeah. Right. And who are they for?
AFC. They have AFC. The dynasty teams, but the NFC have stronger teams across the board over the last 10 years.
So just quickly, let's not spend much time on this, but just quickly, just to give people a bit of an idea of what this means for us and kind of some of the best fantasy players maybe for those divisions. So for the NFC East. How many are we doing here? We're just going to do
NFC East and NFC West because they're the two most competitive
divisions.
Fine,
let's just
do
those.
Place to start.
NFC East, what have I got here? I'm going to go to JP. You're going to talk to us about, is it the Cowboys?
Okay, yes, the Cowboys. I mean, we're going to do like a minute each on each team. I'll start off with the Cowboys.
You're already a good 20 seconds in short minute.
I'll have to think on my feet.
And so each week we're going to go over a different division and just tell you guys
what do we want. We want the key fantasy impacts of those players of those
yeah
teams.
we want the people that are going to be relevant for the upcoming
Fine.
Season in fantasy.
Yeah. Cowboys
Dak Prescott, dual threat quarterback, can run with the ball, accurate passer, didn't have an interception to his name until week 8 or 9. Works well with Zeke as defenses are worried about Zeke running through, so it leaves lanes open for Dak. Zeke Elliott, we all know what he did last year.
Stud.
He's going top 3 or 4 pick in drafts, hoping to see a bit more of him in the passing game. But, with that impending suspension, we don't know what's going on yet, but he's a stud. Dez Bryant, solid wide receiver 2 in my eyes. Hasn't put anything like wide receiver 1 numbers up in the last couple of years due to injuries, but he's a top wide receiver. And just a surprise one, Jason Witten, Mr. Reliable.
Old plays, man with
plays every game. Literally only included him in this because his last game that he missed was his rookie season. He's only missed one game in his NFL career. Always ends up a top 12 quarterback.
Yeah, he's been playing for about 13
tight end,
years.
Tight end.
Yeah. That'd be a really impressive. Be
okay, that's a good selection. Greeny for the Giants. Who are you giving us?
Giants, just run through. Odell Beckham, athletic freak of one of the best wide receivers in the league. He's finished the top four or five highest wide receiver and has got 1,300 yards and 10 TDs since he's joined the NFL. He will go as one of the top five picks, or maybe just after, and that's good value.
This is speaking like a sports podcast.
How was it?
Your time's running out.
Yeah, Brandon Marshall 2 years ago had a ridiculous 1,500 yards and 14 TDs, but then he outstays his welcome in teams. It's his first new year at the New York Giants. I expect him to get up to wide receiver two, could be a top 20 wide receiver. Sterling Shepard, second year. Not much about him. Don't draft him.
Going to have to move on. You're done there. Your time's up. Charles, hit us with Redskins.
First and foremost, tight end Jordan Reed. He's the main...
Greeny is so angry.
You'd already mentioned Paul Perkins. It's fine. But
Charles, your time's up, mate. Right. So,
Jordan Reed, tight end. Apart from Gronk, he's going to be one of the top tight ends available. You've got quarterback Kirk Cousins, could be a sneaky late quarterback to pick up late in the later rounds. At the wide receiver position, they've just signed Terrell Pryor, who has had a 1,000-yard receiving season at the Browns last year. So, you know, with a better quarterback, he could be in a good situation. And it'd be interesting to see what happens with their running backs, because at the moment it's Rob Kelly. They've got a new rookie in Samaje Perine. Which one of them wins out will be very, very good fantasy value, hopefully.
Okay, I've been given the Eagles, which helps because I didn't need to prep for that. So I'm just literally going to say Alshon Jeffrey, you know, good wide receiver, new for them. And also Blount, who was at the Patriots, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. He could be a little flex option maybe. And obviously Wentz is going to win the Super Bowl. So maybe as a backup quarterback, but probably don't go
for
watch
out for Zach Ertz as well.
Yeah, I like him. Zach Ertz as well. Okay, NFC West, JP, the Saints.
Okay, Drew Brees, top five quarterback, throws the ball a lot. Loads of weapons, terrible defense, which means he has to throw for them to stay competitive in games, and they're not reliant on the run. Adrian Peterson joining the Saints this year, and Mark Ingram. They've got a good offensive line, opportunities to run the ball. They get down the field often, so lots of red zone carries for the running backs. We're not going to get a better idea who's the actual starter is going to be and what both their roles are going to be. So kind of wait until training camp to find out. Could end up being a committee. So you never really know who's going to get the point. So a bit of a dangerous game with those running backs. And Michael Thomas, best rookie wide receiver last year. Number one target for Breeze. And when Cook's no longer there, gets more targets, he's going to be a stud.
Okay. Wow, that was a mouthful. I'm pressurizing
you. Fed up of us talking.
Everyone in the studio, I'm like, you got 1 minute, quick. Greeny, Buccaneers. Right.
Mike Evans, top wide receiver a year ago, top 10 pick, take him. Winston, top 15 QB for the last few years. He's tending to make too many interceptions. I don't trust him as a QB1. He should be a QB2, back end of the draft. Doug Martin goes from crap to great to crap. The great is always coinciding with contract year. Guess what? He's got a contract year. He should be a running back one for stretches, even though he's got four game ban to start the season. DeSean Jackson, he is a 1K-plus wide receiver with 5 touchdowns. Go enjoy him for a few games, but he's only going to be a low-end wide receiver too.
Fantastic. Well done. Charlesy, who have we got? The Falcons.
Probably the most relevant fantasy teams in all of football. They've got the number one of the best wide receivers in Julio Jones, one of the best running backs in... Devonta Freeman, another backup running back. One of the only teams that can say this is in Tevin Coleman, is also very fantasy relevant, especially in PPR. Phenomenal backup running back. Matt Ryan won MVP last year as quarterback. You know, he could have another great year, even though they lost their offensive coordinator. A few sneaky players could be players like Taylor Gabriel, who had good spells last year.
What position is he?
He's a wide receiver. And an Austin Hooper at tight end could be a late-round quarterback you might want worth taking a punt on.
You've done the quarterback-tight end mix-up as well.
Have I?
Yeah.
Well, I apologise.
It's all the same kind of thing, doesn't really matter.
The minute pressure really, really didn't help.
It gets to pressure. I've been given the Panthers, and for this, I mean, Greg Olsen is your number one overall pick in the draft.
I thought that was Travis Kelce for you.
Oh, shit, that's what I meant. What did I say? Greg Olsen? Yeah. They're similar. They're both tight ends. They're both good tight ends, and they're both men. So
They both have beards.
Yeah, exactly. Cam Newton, he annoyed me last year because I had him and he did nothing, so don't bother. Christian McCaffrey, I've been told, is a good rookie and he's worth a punt. And then, of course, you've got Kelvin Benjamin, who has been eating what Eddie Lacy's left on the plate. So probably leave him alone. There you go. Sorry, Panthers, but that's your lot. We've got one more section before we answer your questions, and that is Dan's top three. Let's go.
You're regretting letting me talk again, aren't you?
But no, I always love you talking and babbling.
You've got 1 minute.
All right. So, huzzah. Training camps are starting today. We're back in.
Is it today?
Yeah, rookies are back for five teams are back in, and veterans following next week. So it's a good time to go through the best training camp stories. So number three, Patriots camp 2005, just after they won their third Super Bowl with Tom Brady. So Brady was becoming a bit of the poster boy of the NFL after a few of the Super Bowls, and was in a number of salacious GQ shots. That was difficult to say.
Yeah.
And a bit of old-fashioned ribbing. His offensive linemen during the training drills all put Brady pictures and poses on the back of their shirts. So when he's hiking, he had to kind of like run after them to take it off. And it was in one of those public training things. So that's quite a good laugh.
Great banter.
In the same year, 2005, Olin Krutz, who was an offensive lineman for the Bears, and he was a bit of a dickhead apparently to all the players in the locker room. Kyle Orton, who was a new QB drafted by the Bears, was thrilled when Olin asked him to sign his helmet for his family. Except the helmet that he got him to sign was actually Kyle's own. So they had to go through training camp wearing a helmet with his own signature on.
Brilliant.
Didn't Kyle Orton end up in the wrestling? Might have made that up.
Randy Orton.
Randy Orton. Got very
That's
confused.
Close. You kind of threw me off for a sec. Yeah. No. Cool. And number one, in 2010, Donnie McNabb, one of your favourites.
Legend.
Sadly. He had just left the Eagles to join the Redskins, the rivals. How do you feel about that?
Still
not over it.
We'll never speak to him again.
So, Chris...
No longer friends.
Yeah.
He's off my Facebook list.
Unfollowed.
Yeah. So Chris Cooley, a.k.a. Captain Chaos, wanted to introduce McNabb to the team in his own unique way. So he gets a child fan to hide in McNabb's locker... while he's doing a press conference. Yeah, a bit
different.
Bizarre.
Yeah.
So he would jump out whilst
McNabb's... then called the police.
Oh, my God.
So he jumps out when McNabb's opening up the cupboard and it gives him the shock of his life.
Fair enough.
I've got a weird story to relate to that. At the school I went to, there was a rumour that one of the teachers, history teachers, was called Piggy Brown. And the rumour was that he was locked in a cupboard and fed bacon. So that's how he got his name. Anyway.
Yeah.
Was that the end of Don's top three? Thought I'd end it on a high note. We haven't got much time left, but we're going to go through some of your questions quickly. Do keep writing in. We do like answering them. Let's just rattle through them. So Ryan's question is, who's the biggest underdog team to watch out for this season? JP?
I think the Browns.
Jags.
No, not actually the Browns. I mean, I think they get a few wins, but I actually think...
the Eagles.
I think the Chargers. Right. I think they're going to be sneaky good this season. They've got loads of offensive weapons.
You're entitled
to your
opinion.
The offensive line, and they've got some good players on defense as well. So
yeah, they all get injured.
They're going to have a good year.
Negative. Though, yeah,
you misread the Jags.
Harris has asked, "Who are your dark horses for the upcoming season?" I haven't got anyone assigned to ask this to. So who fancies it? Anyone? Dark horse?
Well, does he mean teams? If he means teams, the Jags. There we go. Done.
Well, if he means dark horses. As in any horses of dark colouring.
I like the thoroughbreds.
What do you mean?
Black Beauty. Now there's a dark horse.
Well done. Chaz Albrecht. What an unbelievable name. Will Cap be a part of any NFL franchise for the end of the season? Will that Greeny?
He's too divisive to be a backup quarterback, 53rd man on the roster. So no, he needs an injury to happen. So wait until the middle of the season, see if this Seattle, see if Wilson gets injured.
Too busy being Bob Dylan, isn't he?
So, will someone get injured? Yeah. Probably not. I don't know.
You can't predict when there's going to be an injury. Yeah.
I know.
So Liam Morrissey. I buy a different NFL jersey every year. It's a bit like Charles's way of
no.
supporting the
team. No.
So I have a 49ers, Saints, Patriots, Colts, Steelers, Vikings and Giants. That's pretty impressive. Which jersey should I get next? Well, this has been assigned to me. So although I would say the Eagles, I'm actually going to say the Panthers. I quite like their
Which one? So. The white or the black or the blue?
I thought it was purple.
No, it's the Vikings. He's already got one.
No,
of them.
But the Panthers. No,
I'll no, it's blue. Dark blue and light
that
blue.
That one, dark blue. Whatever. Get the Eagles then. Forget it. Jack Baylor, who would you recommend as fancy handcuffs for key players? Charles?
I mean, like we said, I mean, Tevin Coleman is the best backup running back because he's got intrinsic value, you know, in and of itself without, you know, having to rely on an injury. Derrick Henry could become a running back one.
Who's what team is that?
He's the Titans. He's the backup to DeMarco Murray. If DeMarco Murray gets injured, Derrick Henry is pretty much a guaranteed running back one because that offensive line's so good. And a sneaky one is Jonathan Williams, who was the San Francisco 49 backup for if Carlos Hyde doesn't actually work out because they drafted him and
I literally completely forgot about that.
Joe Williams.
Joe Williams.
They've been irrelevant for years.
Might be Joe. Might be Joe Williams.
I quite like. I mean, I don't have the first or second pick, but Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, that's
handcuff.
Who I was thinking.
Connor.
James Connor. He's actually who I was trying to think of.
They took him in the third round of the draft.
Yeah, 100%. He's the one I was thinking of and forgot his name, so glossed over him.
he's your man.
Yeah, watch out for him because look, the Steelers' offensive line, and you see what D'Angelo Williams did last year when Bell wasn't around. You can be.
Bell
yeah.
likes to get to injured D'Angelo Williams. And
he's left. He's about 35.
He's wrestling now.
He's done. Right.
Yeah,
he did a bit of wrestling.
But yeah, watch out for Connor.
Next question. Oh God, we were told how to pronounce his name. I think it was 10. Was 10
E. Rob Wasteny.
I'll say waste than any. Robert, between the bites team, predict your finishing places for the fantasy league.
I think you should predict, so like our own personal league, where you think
we're all going to pick.
The four of us.
Isn't that the question?
I'm going to...
Well, you might have been talking about the bites league.
Okay, well, I can analyse each of the three of you very quickly. JP is quite sneaky. I think that people wouldn't necessarily think he's going to win, but he seems to know quite a lot, and his knowledge has improved quite quietly.
Quietly.
Under the radar.
non-podcast waste.
That's JP. Charles... Former winner. He's been there and he's won it. And that does mean a lot. You know, you're putting on the 18th at the Open. Have you got the putt? He does. I think that was a one-hit wonder, though, sadly. And Greeny.
Bit rude.
Greeny's the man who, on paper, for me, should be winning.
100% your type.
He's been on paper. He's 100% my type. He knows his stuff. He's very passionate about it. He likes to read Bleacher Reports and all that kind of stuff.
I do.
Hasn't quite done the business, but I'm going to predict in our order. I will obviously win. Second place will be Greeny, followed by JP, followed by Charles. Charles, right. How do you feel about that?
I can't wait to prove you wrong by winning yet again.
Fantastic. I'm going to be right like reaction. Spain under 21. Take that silver medal off and throw it away.
Okay. James, another great name, James Fotheringham. Anyway, how will you be watching games? Will you have your fancy teams up watching live scores or just sit back and pick a game? JP?
I mean, it's all about red zone.
You're watching at your house.
It's what Sunday nights are about, isn't it? Six in the evening till you
fall asleep.
We normally we rotate quite a lot around our houses. We take it in turns to host to get the crisps in and
we'll have the fantasy app up. Charles will have his laptop out, checking every
shouting.
Score
well, why didn't you just go down and give it to him? Stuff like that.
Current champion.
The
worst thing is when he like shouts out who's got a touchdown before it's actually been shown on TV.
Oh yeah, because the app is quicker than
slightly behind. Yeah. So no more of that, Charles.
No, I very rarely do that.
But I'm sure there are places where you can go and what you know. And if anyone in the group is only one of their friends who watches it, then you should all join a community and congregate as long as no one's stabbing.
I said we'd go to the Hippodrome for a game or so.
One in what's it called? The sports bar in Marylebone.
Marylebone.
Yeah, we've been there.
Well, Charles lives in Kentish Town, so you can join him. Across the Fantasy Pond is his name. Rather long-winded. What four teams will make the conference finals this year? Greeny?
Patriots. Steelers.
Eagles.
Packers. Oh. And Saints.
No Browns.
Saints is the controversial. all of those will finish in the bottom four.
No charges.
All strong picks. I'm
going what I actually think.
Lee Abrahams, our friend. Double question. Who are the best quarterback wide receiver trios in the NFL heading into the new year? E.g. Big Ben, Brown and Bryant.
No, I think Big Ben, Brown and Bryant.
Sorry, was that meant to be a cue for you as what you've written down already to say, Charles?
Well, it was one of the ones I was going to say.
I want something
correct.
Original, Charles. Give me something that's not already been read.
Do your research, Charles.
I was wondering why there was panicked at hands in the air there. You've got my answer.
I'll go back to what I was saying earlier in the Falcons, because they've got Devonta Freeman, Julio Jones and Matt Ryan.
No, but it's wide receiver, quarterback.
Yeah.
Oh, I've misread that. Okay, fair enough. Well, in that case, I'm going to go back to Big Ben, Brown and Bryant. And also, yeah, like we said, Derek Carr with Cooper and Crabtree, because like you said, both of them are very good fantasy assets.
Well, what about the Eagles? You've got Wentz, you've got Jeffrey.
You've got Jeffrey, and you have got...
other players.
Torrey Smith.
Jordan Matthews.
Absolutely. And the Jags as well. They've got Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns. And Blake Bortles isn't that good.
Manning, so. Marshall, OBJ.
Very good point, yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good
one. That's the winner.
That's a good one.
Well done. And then the last question.
If you want to actually include Jordan Reed as a wide receiver, because he basically plays that way.
He's a tight end, Charles.
Yeah, but then he could say that about loads of tight ends.
No, but he is effectively a wide receiver.
Denied.
So him, Pryor, and Cousins.
Lee has a second question. Regardless of name / reputation, oh, this is a good question. Who is the one player you just couldn't ever draft for your fantasy team? Anyone got an answer to that?
I was going to go Joe Mixon just because of the whole controversy.
Oh, you're so
But then I don't want to go on that moral high ground. So I'm like Eli Manning, he pisses me off.
I'm going Eddie Lacy. He burnt me last year. I got drawn into the hype of him getting fit and healthy, and I'm not taking him anywhere this
That's
year.
That's fair enough.
A couple of years ago, I got really burnt by CJ Anderson. So that would be...
Is he the Broncos running back?
He is. Yeah. But I think this question... I don't think you should ever limit yourself to this. You can't ever say, I won't draft him, because if the value's there, you should do it. You know, if you think a player, you wouldn't take him in the top five rounds and somehow is still there in the eighth round, don't let that get in the way. You should still go for value over
doesn't matter how many behind you. Doesn't matter how many children or women he's beaten, Charles will be picking him with fury.
There's no John Terry's in this league for me.
Well, there are. Oh, we've resisted
quite
some.
John Terry hasn't beaten his wife or gone to prison.
The way I feel about John Terry, I wouldn't pick him in a Premier League fantasy. I would pick most players.
If it was to win your family league, you're 100%.
Anyway, let's move on. We're time to wrap up. Charlie, have you got a trivia question for us?
I certainly do. We've got three categories. You can pick from any of them, any at all. You've got hashtag winning, war, or the new one, close calls.
I like war, based on Game of Thrones
recently.
Let's go
war.
Okay, cool. World War II conscription diminished American football teams, quite a few of them, leading to some teams merging. The Steelers joined with two teams, one in 1943 and one in 1944. Can you name the teams, and can you name the new team name they came up with?
The Eagles and the Steelers.
that one that me and JP told Greeny that one.
Oh, don't be a stupid.
But the other one,
I don't know who the other team. Sure. Did you say there were two teams?
Yeah. Right, two teams is the Steelers mixed with. Okay.
The Ravens. Are they even around then?
The Bengals.
The Colts, whatever they were back.
Name a team, Ed.
The Jags.
The Jags have only been around since like the 90s.
What a silly me. I don't know the fucking origin of every team.
I know it was the Cardinals, and they were called Card Pit.
Carpet Right.
Today's episode is sponsored not only by Zing Zing, but Carpet Right.
There we go.
Sweep that one under the carpet.
That's not bad.
God, I think we're done. That's it. That's it for this week. Yeah, in the nature of musical interludes, let's have some jazz to play us out.
What a way to end the show.
See you, folks.